welcome to the Go Home Show podcast brought to you by Sporth, your one-stop shop for all things professional wrestling, with weekly chats with WWE superstars, all the news you might have missed from the previous 7 days, and a look at some of the WWE Network's finest content. This week, we talk about the greatest Hell in the Cell match ever. NXT UK's very own Lewis Howley and Sam Stoker. They're known as Pretty Deadly. We've been stopped by for a chat with them and a bit of network and chill with the lads. It's WWE Untold, Mick Foley versus The Undertaker, King of the Ring 98. But as always, we start with five things you might have missed. Rumours, speculation, drama, gossip. It's what I live my life by. And we are starting with a rumour that The Undertaker could be back at Survivor Series. I will start with Elliot. What do you think of the rumours?
Well, I think I said a couple episodes back that I didn't think The Undertaker was going to go away forever. I'm not surprised. They always big up Survivor Series as the debut of The Undertaker, which would have been, I believe it's a 30th anniversary that's coming up. I don't know what they're going to do.
What do you want? Let's go fantasy booking straight in at the top. He comes back at Survivor Series. What do you want him to do?
Unless he ends up starting a feud with Bray Wyatt and it turns into some sort of WrestleMania cinematic match going down the line. Ooh. I kind of want him just to turn up and then go back up the ramp and back into the gorilla, because I don't want him in the ring, because I worry for the guy. I think he ended on a perfect note against AJ Styles. I thought that was stupid, spoopy nonsense with the Boneyard match at Mania. Hopefully he just comes out and cuts a promo, says something about digging holes and taking souls, you know, the usual stick and everything, and then he just goes back. I don't want this to involve him, you know, doing a Saudi Arabia, him facing a Goldberg or anything like that going forward.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, I think we're all on board with the Bray Wyatt cinematic idea. Can anyone raise Elliot higher? Because he has just pulled that idea out of nowhere on the spot. Chris Crush?
I'm going to go in just because there was another rumour of a returning superstar. And if we're going to go in with one bit of nonsense, let's go all in. In the crowd for Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman was aforementioned Goldberg. If we're going nonsense, let's throw him back in it again. Let's just see what happens. Let's put it on free TV and just see where everything lies at the end of it. It was an interesting experience in Saudi Arabia. I'm ready for the rematch. Let's do it.
I can describe my anxiety for that match as what I could describe as like Jeff Hardy climbing up to the top of a ladder. Watching those two go at it would be that, but for all the wrong reasons. Crush, I know you've actually met The Undertaker, which I don't think we've mentioned before on this podcast. How would you like to see your close personal friend wrestle?
Not at Survivor Series, because there's been no crowd. I think they'll probably get him back for WrestleMania 37. I think they'll probably have like an in-ring segment at Survivor Series to celebrate the 30-year anniversary. And outcomes, a mid-card superstar starts running down and there's a choke slam and a tombstone pile driver and everyone's happy.
Chris, do you think, obviously we're just mere mortals and we've not stepped in the ring and I've not actually seen you wrestle in person, but is there something, they're like two athletes that put on a terrible show, do you think there's something about them both wanting to get together to almost right the wrongs?
I think, yes, there is, but there's also the fear on the flip side of that. If I have a bad match and I can go back a week later and try it again, people are going to forget about my bad match like a week ago. But Goldberg and Undertaker are at legacy levels now. Like, we're talking about what's the lasting memory of them going to be in the WWE. So, yes, they could try and do it again and maybe they knock it out of the park and we're all shocked. Or, inversely, they could shit the bed again. And they could both have these long careers with real moments in it. And the only thing that would be the lasting memory for a lot of the younger audience especially will be that Goldberg and Undertaker just lost it twice on national TV in front of the world, and that will be, you know, Johnny Smith the 14-year-old, that will be his memory of The Undertaker, and that will be his memory of Goldberg. So for me personally, I think the right decision is you can have Undertaker, have him as a presence rather than as a wrestling talent, have him come in, be spooky. If he chokeslam, as you said, he chokeslam the occasional mid-carder into oblivion for a bit, that's fine, but let's not push it out anymore. The Undertaker had an incredible career. Let's remember it for what it was and not risk rewriting history for what it could potentially be.
I think Elias and Baron Corbin are shaking in their boots already. We move on to Charlotte Flair, Chris. Another one of your close personal friends, actually. She is signed with Vayner Sports. Why is this so important?
because it's like the first wrestler to join the VaynerSports family. Obviously, VaynerSports is owned by Gary Vee, who's obviously an entrepreneur and a huge social media personality. So it launched 4 years ago, and it worked mainly with the NFL. But they've like recently expanded out. So I think they've signed Stipe Miocic from the UFC. They also recently signed Michelle Watson. Of course, he's part of the strawweight division in the UFC. So Charlotte's the first women's wrestler, or the first wrestler, should I say, to get involved. I think they've got Kyle Allen as well from the NFL, as well as a few baseball players. So it'd be interesting to see how this sort of works out, because obviously we've seen with Twitch and Cameo recently, they have their superstars within their sort of stuff. So for someone to sign to an agency is very interesting.
Do you think this is the first step for her sort of looking long-term and seeing what's next?
I don't think so. She's got a lot of years ahead of her. She's still up there with the best in the business, and she was the first round pick in the draft. So she'll probably return before the end of the year, maybe looking towards Survivor Series or even the Rumble.
Yeah.
I think she's got a lot of time within WWE before going on to anything else.
Chris, you were shaking your, nodding your head in agreement that she might be planning for life after wrestling.
Yeah, well, I don't think she's going to life after wrestling now, but I think this is the first steps of building something beyond wrestling. There were rumours after her surgery was June, July, was it? I think it was summertime, June. Whatever it was.
She had surgery. I think it was that brutal attack from Nia Jax that put her out, Chris.
Which then led to surgery.
Sorry,
obviously.
Yes, sorry.
Jesus, let's protect the business here.
Sorry.
There were rumours that she'd been offered TV parts, like quite serious TV parts, that kind of floated and we didn't really hear too much about it. So I think this is her saying, well, if there is interest in me outside of wrestling, I'd like to explore that. Like we said, with her being drafted first round in the draft, I think she'll be back on WWE TV soon. But I think we might see her not become part-time, but I think she may start exploring other opportunities while still being a member of the WWE roster.
Love that. Right, let's move things on. NXT happened last night. Chris and Crush, they've reviewed it, so make sure you check that one out. But we'll just cover it here because, Elliot, we've got new tag team champions, spoiler alert, and a returning face is back.
Yeah, it was absolutely mad. I mean, it was meant to be the Undisputed Era versus Breezango for the NXT tag team titles. Only for one by one, they ended up being attacked behind the scenes, meaning that only Larkin and Danny Burch ended up replacing them in the match because basically Kyle O'Reilly was like, I don't want to take part in this. I'm not medically cleared to fight. It then led to just a really fun match, only for then a certain masked individual to turn up. I, for one, thought it was Vacant himself turning up, trying to take the NXT tag team titles away. But it then turned out that later on, the person in the mask who screwed over, I believe it was Fandango on the top rope, I want to say, which then led to the finish. And it was blooming Pat McAfee. He's back. And he cut one hell of a promo with no microphone, might I add, in the middle of the ring, which is one of the better things, I suppose, with the lack of massive crowd numbers, is it gives a bit more of an organic heel persona where you can just shout to the whole crowd about how you feel. And he's now teaming up with these guys, and this little rivalry that I thought was just going to be kind of like a one-week deal of him feuding with the Undisputed Era, it looks like he's actually building to something pretty damn special. And I really want to see Oney and Birch actually go on and face Undisputed Era and have a good feud. Who knows, they might have a good War Games match later on down the line. I don't know. But yeah, it's just dumb, silly nonsense. But it was a surprise because people have wanted Oney and they've wanted Birch to win the titles for a very long time. I mean, I didn't expect them to win it like this, but it's absolutely fantastic.
Yes, the lads will go into it in great deal in the NXT AEW review, so make sure you get on that. Let's throw things forward to this Sunday, Hell in a Cell. We are looking forward to it here. Obviously, we'll be covering it in great detail. But, gents, what are you most looking forward to if I have to put you on the spot and say one match, what we're going to be talking about come Monday morning?
So I know what other people say, so I'm going to go for a different choice in Bayley and Sasha Banks. Obviously, we've got Roman Reigns and the former podcast guest, Jey Uso, going at it in Hell in a Cell. But I think Bayley Sasha Banks is going to be the show stealer. That feud has been going on since NXT. It's the next step before, I believe, will be a huge, huge match at WrestleMania next year.
That's not in a cell, is it?
Yeah.
It is in a cell. So it's three cell matches?
Yeah.
Three cell matches one night. Chris, is that too much cell?
Well, what a great question. It's not, provided they all use the cell or tell us a different story within the cell. Obviously, the Roman Reigns Jey Uso match being an I Quit match within the cell kind of lends itself quite easily. I think Randy and Drew will be the one that may well spill out of the cell. I can see them go around the houses a bit. Whereas I think Sasha and Bayley, because it's more of a blood feud, that will be more of a, I don't think that will spill out of the cell, but it will be a very physical, almost like a no DQ match where the cell is used as a weapon more as a than a feature, if that makes sense.
Just touching on that Drew match, I was thinking, do you think Drew, if he is to carry on with his reign, almost has to win in sort of, I was going to say clean circumstances, because the ones against Randy have obviously come with the legends and then the roll-up. Do you think he just needs a comprehensive victory?
Yeah, I think this will be, I hope this is the end of the feud, because it's gone on for a long time and it needs that moment now. I think the cell is the right place to do it, whether that is via RKO / punt or via Claymore. I think this will be one of those matches where we'll see a lot of false finishes. We'll see Drew kick out the RKO. We'll see Randy kick out the Claymore, and then it will be something big that finishes it, whatever that will be. But I'm excited to see where it goes. I think this has been there aren't many good long feuds that happen anymore, and this has been one of the better ones.
Maybe you just descend it into darkness, put these goggles back on and do a cheeky little roll-up. E-Dog, what match are you looking forward to most?
I don't know. I'm quite invested going into all of these, but I think with the way that SmackDown ended last week, that really has got me excited for this I Quit Hell in a Cell match between Jay and Roman. It's not something I really knew I wanted in 2020, you know, Jey Uso going on a singles run. But it's been great. And as I say, the build-up, it's almost like Roman is having to fight with his old character and his old alliances, especially with the ending of SmackDown last week. And it's like, I've got to show I'm the top dog here. I'm taking no prisoners. I've got to absolutely destroy anyone who gets in my way, because this is my title, this is my show, blah, blah, blah. I think it's going to be a career definer for Jey Uso. Even, I don't think he's going to win. I think he's going to give it his all, though. Because remember, it was Jimmy who threw in the towel. It wasn't Jey who said that, all right, that's it. I give up. I can't fight anymore. And this is bringing forward a very interesting babyface storyline of, you know, going against the tribal chief, the chosen one of the family, all that sort of stuff. It's very simple storytelling. And if I'm being honest, I kind of wouldn't mind it if this goes on a little bit further down the line. Maybe it comes back for another big four pay-per-view. You can make, who knows, maybe WrestleMania. I don't know. It depends on what they decide to do with the Rumble. But everything in here just works really well. And as long as this match is good, which I think with Roman and Jay having, you know, good chemistry together, we should get that.
I want a flat back truck to sort of come out from the Titantron, and everyone's like, what's going on here? And then there's a bit of sawdust in the back. And then, much like The Undertaker, Rikishi rises out of the sawdust. And 20 years on, they have told the greatest story of all time. Before we get into our favourite Hell in the Cell matches, Chris, I have to turn to you because the G1's going on. And to be honest, mate, I need you to educate me.
Because I was host last week, I kind of forced it into the show because I had the power. We had the finale of the G1 last weekend. It was, as ever, a classic tournament. If you don't know what the G1 is, it's a New Japan tournament where 20 of the top singles men's superstars break into two tables of 10. Everyone plays everyone in their own table, and the two winners go on to the final. This year's final was Kota Ibushi versus Sanada. In another classic match, it saw probably the greatest near fall of all time. Someone timed it, and Ibushi kicked out at literally 2.98 seconds. That is what we're talking about. That is professional wrestling for you. There was also a big moment where Will Ospreay, Essex's finest Will Ospreay, turned heel and started his own faction. I won't go into too much detail because I know this is predominantly a WWE / AEW podcast, but if you're looking for some wrestling that's a bit different, you're looking for something that you've not seen before, go back and watch the G1 from this year, because it's all very, very good. You'll see some really good stuff. I really enjoyed it, and I'm very excited to see Kota Ibushi defend the briefcase against Jay White at some point soon to see who will go onto Wrestle Kingdom to face Naito for the title.
I'm excited, and I wasn't before. We move on now to Convince Me. Chris, I'll hand over to you. We've got Hell in the Cell coming up at the weekend, so that's how we've themed this one.
Yes, if you've not heard this before, Convince Me is a very simple section. Each member will bring their own answer to a question, and we need to try and convince the others that theirs is the correct answer. Each person only gets 45 seconds to do so. Though, And this week's question is, what is the best Hell in a Cell match of all time? Asterix, you can't include the obvious answer, which is the Mick Foley Undertaker match. To start off with, I am going to hand over to Crusher. Answer the question, what is the best Hell in a Cell match of all time?
I am going for one that is 15 years ago, and it is from Vengeance, and it is Batista versus Triple H. I'm choosing this because this contest, it didn't go for the big bump sort of spots that we'd seen previously and that we've seen since. It was two former teammates going against each other in a massively physical match with barbaric spots and a lot of violence. And it was what I believe the Hell in a Cell match was originally for. It was bloody, it was brutal, and it was a perfect way for them two to end their rivalry. And the stiffs were massive, the moves were very good. The weapons, there was a steel chair wrapped in barbed wire. Triple H got his old friend, the sledgehammer, out, and Batista finished him off with a Batista bomb onto the ring steps. It was a very good match overall, and Batista solidified himself as one of the top stars in WWE after that.
That was 49 seconds, Crush. I'm sorry, you have to remove your last sentence there. Let's move on to Elliot. 45 seconds, go.
Okay, well, in terms of Hell in a Cell, you're only as good as your first. So I've chosen, from Bad Blood 1997, one of those In Your House pay-per-views, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, which was a number one contenders match, I believe, for the World Heavyweight title at the time. Oh my God, this match is so underrated. Nobody talks about this because of, obviously, Taker versus Mankind going forward. But let us not forget that Shawn Michaels himself wears some crimson paint an awful lot within this match. He gets absolutely cut open. It is called Bad Blood, this pay-per-view, for a particular reason. It's so bonkers and fun because it's the first time you see the Cell, and the fact that people have to, you know, have to believe in it. It is a real threat. Kane shows up at the end, which is absolutely fantastic as well. Honest to God, it's one of the best matches in their illustrious career. It's Taker versus Shawn Michaels. What else can I say?
I gave you extra time. We're at 55 now. That's another sentence I'm going to have to remove from the end. Kane did not show up anymore, I'm afraid. Will, over to you. 45 seconds. Go.
Armageddon 2000. Rikishi, The Undertaker, Triple H, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and the champion was going in at the time was Kurt Angle. All the storylines had intertwined into that specific moment. Stone Cold had been run over by Rikishi. I did it for The Rock. And that was all coming down to it. The match itself was unbelievable. Mick Foley said he would resign, quit, leave WWE if someone got seriously injured. Undertaker threw Rikishi off the Cell into some sawdust. But it sounds more less dramatic than I'm making out. It was 50 feet, God save. Brawls around the whole arena. They went up to the Titantron. Stone Cold and Triple H were having that rivalry at the time. And then there was this little cowardly champion, Kurt Angle at the time, who'd won it at No Mercy with that little bit of bogey snot hanging out of his nose, crying his little eyes out. Everyone hits their finisher. He puts out a limp arm over, I think it was Triple H, and retains his title against 6-5 of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Very good. You also went 5 seconds over, so Kurt Angle did no longer retain. I will now all give you the correct answer to this, which is only from 3 years ago, and that is New Day versus the Usos in a tag match in the Cell. My reason for this is very simple. We've seen the Usos go back and forth with the New Day a lot. However, this match on its own stands out. It was a very, very different style from what we're used to seeing. We still got that comedy aspect from the New Day, where they use like the trombone and the gong. But we also saw brutal spots. We had Xavier Woods chained to the ring post whilst the Usos wailed on him with kendo sticks. We saw an Uso excessively trapped in the Cell using kendo sticks. They just wellied each other for about 20 to 25 minutes. If you've not seen this match, this will make you rethink how you see both these teams. It was an incredible match. So mine is New Day versus the Usos in 2017 at Hell in a Cell. That is exactly 45 seconds, so I get a bonus point for keeping the time. However, it is not up to us. It is up to you, the Go Home Show podcast audience. What do you think? What is the best Hell in a Cell match of all time, not including Mick Foley versus The Undertaker? Is it Batista versus Triple H at Vengeance 2005? Is it In Your House Bad Blood, spelt with two Ds, from 1997, HBK versus The Undertaker? Is it the Mad Six-Man from Armageddon? Or is it New Day versus The Usos from 3 years ago? Let us know either in the comments or on the poll at Twitter, at Go Home Show Pod. And now it is time for my least favourite segment. It is time for the quiz. Crush, over to you.
Yes, so as Chris mentioned, Chris never wins the quiz. I am always the champion, and that is why I am in charge this week. And the team go head-to-head in a quick quiz format based around a specific topic. For example, the topic could be hardcore champions. They say how many can name. It's bidding at a shot at naming them. Chris might say he can go with 5. Will say 6. Elliot's like, nah, can't beat that. So Chris goes for 7 and then gets a chance to win the quiz for the week. This week, it's Hell in a Cell themed. We have had the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view as a standalone pay-per-view since 2009. And I want you to name as many of the 21 competitors who've been in the main event of Hell in a Cell pay-per-views over the last 11 years.
Sorry, it has to be the last match on the card?
Yeah.
I don't know where people placed in the card.
The fuck? So there's 21 names, some huge names on there. I won last week with WrestleMania Cities and when they were, so
to be fair, I wasn't here, but obviously I did listen in, and that was imbecile. I was like, he's done himself in it, and then you proceeded to show me up, which you've done quite a lot.
Because this is trickier.
Yeah.
Are we allowed, like, is there a penalty for wrong answers?
No.
Right, okay. So it's just, okay. So there's 20 names, you said, yeah?
21 names. Last match of the night. Let's go. Chris, what are you starting with?
I'm going to go 5.
Elliot?
I'll do 6.
Will?
I'll go 8.
Chris?
No, I can't do 9. No? I cannot.
Elliot?
Nine.
I'll give 9 a go.
Will, can you name 10 of 21 names? Some huge names in the business. 10. Elliot, over to you. Can you do 11?
Go on. Can I'll you give name it a go. 11? I'll give it a go.
11. Will, can you name 12 of the biggest names in WWE history to main event Hell in a Cell since 2009? 12 out of 21.
I'll stand down.
Chris, one last chance. Can you name 12 of 21?
Can I balls?
Okay. Chris, get me a timer for 60 seconds, yeah, please. Elliot, yeah, I ready. Need you to name 11 out of 21 names from main events of Hell in a Cell since 2009 in 3, 2, 1, go.
Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins.
Yep.
Okay, and that's where things go. Undertaker Brock Lesnar, was that main event?
Yep.
That's
main event in 2015.
I'm going to guess New Day's Usos wasn't, but I'm going to put it up there.
No. Come on, Edo!
30 seconds gone.
It's a leisurely pace.
7 to go.
Since 2009. CM Punk?
Since 2009. Yep, 5.
Batista, Triple H.
Triple H
Kane,
is that.
Big yep. Show. Nope. Daniel Bryan.
Yep. Three more.
Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose. Yep.
One more.
5. Go on, Edom!
Goldberg.
No.
It's over.
Did you say the Undertaker?
Yeah.
I said Undertaker.
Mate, you were one away. It was a valiant effort. So you named Triple H, Kane, Undertaker, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and Bray Wyatt. The missing names from this shortlist. And you'll kick yourself here. Shawn Michaels, Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, John Cena, Alberto Del Rio, Ryback, Randy Orton, Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Shane McMahon, and Braun Strowman.
I will preface this in that I didn't know if the women's Hell in a Cells had actually were in the main event. I wanted to say that they were earlier on in the card, but I think I got confused with, Becky versus Sasha last year? So
they were, didn't she? Yeah.
Charlotte main evented in 2016 with Sasha Banks.
Remember Brad Maddox? Anyone? Remember, Ryback's got CM Punk up on his shoulders, about to win an Hell in a Cell. The referee low-bows Ryback, and the introduction of one of the greatest wrestlers that we all remember, Brad Maddox.
Yeah, I do now.
I know of him.
Yeah, and he's here today.
That's our special guest.
And Hell in a Cell is this week, so it's time to stock up on your drinks for watching at home or in the Thunderdome. And how better to enjoy watching along than with the company of some fresh and delicious beer from all over the globe. There's no need to worry about heading to the shops to stock up. Beer 52 will bring the beer to you. They're offering a free case of 8 craft beers. Yes, you heard me right. Sourced and curated from the best breweries on the planet. All you need to do is go to www.beer52.com/thegohomeshow and cover $5.95 for postage. Each case is delivered direct to your doorstep, so no need to leave the house. Looking to stock up? Now's your chance. Beer 52 is the world's most popular craft beer discovery club with over 150,000 members that they send a brand new case to each month. Each month's case has a different theme. Past themes have included beer from New Zealand, South Africa, Korea, and all over USA and Europe. So that's beer52.com. That's the word beer, then the numbers 52.com/thegohomeshow for free beers.
Now it is time for the best segment on the Go Home Show podcast, and that is Wrestling Room 101. I am, of course, I'm your inaugural champion, and if you're a little bit new to this podcast or this segment, basically it's where every week a different member of the panel will bring with them one thing from the world of wrestling that they'd like to get rid of forever. They present it to the group. If it enters Room 101, that's it. It's gone. It's never coming back as long as it's been agreed by the judge on this week's particular panel. Last week, I made a pretty big thing. I got Raw Underground cancelled by WWE. So this does affect the world of wrestling. So with that being said, Will is going to be the judge this week because we're going to be seeing Crusher versus Chris. Wow. And I believe, Crush, you've got something you want to present to get into Room 101.
Yes. Will, we've got a time ready.
Michael, my friend, colleague, and sometimes lover. 3, 2, 1.
So my point is this week, the red Hell in a Cell needs to be binned. We first saw it in, I believe it was 2018. And in my opinion, it didn't look good at all. It looked like it'd been spray painted. Like, sometimes it's hard to see through. Like, it doesn't have that classic feel as we've seen throughout the years from 97, as Elliot mentioned earlier in the podcast. I just don't like it. I saw it come back on Raw, and yeah, I wasn't a fan. I said if they do a blue Hell in a Cell for SmackDown, it kind of be acceptable, but it's just a red one. It doesn't make sense for SmackDown to wrestling a red one as well. And do we even have to go into 2019 with The Fiend against Seth Rollins when it had that red hue? Like, it's already bad enough to then add a red hue. Just, yeah, in the bin, in Room 101, please. Thank you very much.
Interesting there. Crush still had 11 seconds to use up on his time. And Will making notes. Don't know if that's positive or negative. I'll let you know. Reset the timer. Chris, your rebuttal.
I think the fact that Michael couldn't even fill a minute of air about why this is an issue speaks volumes. Now, do you know what? I personally, I'm not a fan of the Red Cell. I preferred the old school version. However, in the world of professional wrestling, when we have this power in our hands to get Raw Underground cancelled, the one thing that Michael can bring to the stage is a red-coloured cell. On this very day, we had a steak dinner that broke out into musical song, but the biggest issue we have in all of wrestling is the red cell. Now, I'm going to hold back and say, you know what? Another time, I've been all for putting the red cell in the bin. But out of principle, by the fact that Michael the Crusher Henson could come with nothing stronger than, it looks a bit silly and we should have a blue one, it just speaks volumes. And out of principle, this should stay in because Crush deserves to be punished for the fact that he could not come up with a better opinion for Room 101.
Brilliant.
Just to check, how many seconds was that?
I'm a bit slow on the uptake, so that was a minute bang on.
A minute bang on, because I can. Hold on, Chris. I have opinions. You bring this nonsense. Crush, tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, and just as a judge, I'd like to impart here that you've made your points. Now I would like to see what changes you'd like to make, obviously specifically towards you, Michael. 3, 2, 1, you're back in the room.
So just as Chris saying, it's just me, do you disagree with Seth Rollins when Seth Rollins himself, the Messiah, slated the cell? Absolutely slated it after that Bray Wyatt, and you're disagreeing with him. That says a lot about you, Chris, and why WWE haven't signed you yet. That's all I'm saying. But in terms of the cell, bring back the classic cell, bring back the grey, the silver one. It's the classic one we've seen throughout the years. The red Hell in a Cell is terrible. Seth Rollins doesn't like it. I don't like it. The whole of wrestling Twitter doesn't like it. And Chris, even this morning, before we start recording, your words were, how am I supposed to defend this red cell? And then you've come up with this ridiculous argument. So, heel turn.
You've broken the fourth wall, Michael. We don't speak off air. Right, Chris, you have 30... I'm going to give you 30 seconds, not because I'm punishing you, but I know you can make a more succinct point. 3, 2, 1...
Firstly, heel turn from Crusher proves that I'm in the right. He's got desperate. He's clutching at straws to bring things outside of podcast kayfabe. But his expert in this opinion is Seth Rollins. the man who broke up the Shield is the man we want to take as our basement of judgment for this situation. Not only that, he turned on Buddy Murphy. He turned on Austin Theory. And do you know what? The day that Seth Rollins turns on Crusher is a day I will look forward to. You will eat that curb stomp and you'll get what you deserve, Crush. And do you know what? It'll happen inside a bright red cell.
Interesting. I think going into this, we were all agreed. It was sort of like, how do you defend the indefensible? Like, the Red Hell in a Cell hasn't had the best of starts, has it? But I feel like Crush is sort of clawed victory from the jaws of defeat, because you just gave me nothing. What you want to change it to was, in your words, like the old grey sort of one. And I needed to be like excited by the future. You come up with a problem, you give a solution. The red one three times in one night is not great. The biggest argument, I think, was around Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt. And obviously it didn't work with the red hue, which should be a wrestler's name if they're ever thinking of one. There's no alternative here. There's an old cell, but you know, we can't go backwards. We've got to keep moving forwards. So it's nothing personal, Mick. It never is.
What would you do with the cell then, Will? What would you bring forward? What would you do to the cell?
See, this is classic Crusher. He's deflecting. He realizes he's lost and he's trying to change the perspective.
I just want to hear Will's opinion. He said he wants to bring something for the future. Let's hear it.
Well, I didn't have to prepare an argument for this. And the fact that you're putting me on the spot there, Crush, it's really making me want to choose Chris even more.
You don't have an answer?
I've just been hell in the cell for like 2 to 3 years. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, what I was mentioning earlier, the Armageddon match. You know, when was the last time you looked at a Hell in a Cell match and thought, oh, that structure actually could cause some serious damage? Do you know what I mean? It's lost its je ne sais quoi. Anyway, that's a separate point for another day. I will not put a red Hell in a Cell in room 101 until there is a viable other option. And it is not for me to decide that, because I am just the judge and I am impartial. So today's winner is Chris, the Anderson Daniels. Congratulations, you win a prize.
I popped so much when you said he snatched defeat from the jaws of victory that I yanked my headphone out and the bud itself stayed in my ear. Crush, I think this was a bit like John Cena versus Brock Lesnar, where everyone expected something from you and you were decimated. And I don't think we'll ever see you in the same light again. I think you've thrown it away. However, again, what do you think, the audience? Should the Red Hell in a Cell be scrapped? And if so, what would you do instead? Because you're right. We don't just create problems, we want solutions. Let us know on Twitter at GoHomeShowPod what should happen to the Red Hell in a Cell. However, now, something I'm very excited for, because I've already seen this interview, and it is a heater. Crush, back over to you.
Yeah, the high standard of interviews continues as we speak to two of the most stylish wrestlers in WWE. They are Lewis Howley and Sam Stoker, also known as Pretty Deadly, who compete in NXT UK on the WWE Network on Thursday nights at 8 p.m., which, of course, is tonight if you listen on Thursday. We speak all things NXT UK, their reunion after lockdown, their predictions for Hell in a Cell, dream matches, and more.
Hello and welcome to Spoilt Wrestling, the Go Home Show podcast. I'm Michael Henson and today I'm joined by NXT UK's very own Lewis Howley and Sam Stoker, also known as Pretty Deadly. How are you both?
Yeah, we're well, thank you for having us, Michael.
I'm very good, thank you. We're about a month into NXT UK now, filmed at BT Sports Studios. How have you found everything there?
The rebirth, if you will, has been, I think it's exceeded expectations. I think we all had in our own heads a bar that we wanted to hit. And I remember for us, at least, coming out of that first show, the second show, we felt we were so proud of ourselves and kind of the brand itself. We felt like we'd smashed it. And I think you're only going to see that going forward with weeks to come. It's only going to get better. And definitely for us, we're only getting better. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's exceeded expectations from every account. You know, like BT Sport, the setup we've got there is you know, better than anything we could have dreamed of. And in terms of the performance of the wrestlers, you know, everybody's been just sitting at home, just raring to go. So when people have come back, you know, they've come back with just a different energy. So this show is honestly something special.
And speaking about being back together, during lockdown, you two were separated. How was that for you?
Michael, Michael.
Where do you
Michael.
Get off, Michael? That's what I'd like to ask.
You've had
a
feeling.
Yeah, you knew there was a certain...
How many minutes in are we?
You know what I mean? Early
I just want to hear about the reunion, that's all. I want to hear about this Dirty Dancing Star reunion.
You're reeling it back.
Well, unfortunately, because things are so unpredictable, we separated for what was only meant to be a few days.
It was only going
to
be a few days.
And it became an eternity, or what felt like that.
It certainly felt that way, yeah.
However, you're right, the reunion was something special. And something we'll hold dear to our hearts, won't we?
Certainly, yeah. It's a weird day when time slows down. But that first time I saw Sam after those months, time really did slow down, and it felt like something out of a film, didn't it, Sam?
I had the time of my life.
Oh, hey,
that's it. Hey, man.
And also, you had your first match in 6 months against the Hunt. How good did that feel to get back in the ring and get that win?
We're on the board. We got the W. The Hunt, I mean, one of the best teams you've got. They're animals. And you look at us, and you might not think we're coming out on top. But who did come up on top? We're winning. We're not going to lose. I think this team here is only going to win. We're going to keep on going. And I cannot wait, boy.
I can't wait. And I'll tell you one more thing, Michael, as well, just as a little side note.
Side note.
Not only will we always keep winning, we will never stink like the Hunt, because that was rough, man. Do you know what I mean? I know, because it needs to be said. Because that sort of thing can't keep happening. Yeah, I mean, there's no need for that. There's no need. It was, because I'm not happy about it. Do you know what I mean? I go in there, I've trained for 6 months to get back in, and I don't need to be smelling that while I'm wrestling. Do you know what I mean? While me and Sam are trying to create, we say some art, boy.
Mm,
you know?
Your art.
Thank you.
And then a show that you might be on in the future when you get over to the main roster is Hell in a Cell. We've got that this Sunday. Which match do you think could be the show stealer so far?
I mean, it's got to be...
It's got
the big High Chief.
Oh, yes, boy. It has to be. You took it out of my mouth. Boy. You saw it, didn't you?
I think what Roman Reigns is bringing at the moment, his work before was always top notch, but I think what he's bringing is something new and somehow even better.
It's different gravy now, do you know what I mean?
And we watched the last pay-per-view together and we were blown away. It was...
Yeah, the emotion they were managing to draw out from you with that last match was just, really something else. And so, you know they're going to bring it again this time. And you know, if anything, they're going to come with more, which is just going to be, which I think is going to blow everybody away.
We're always keeping our eye on the tag matches. We'll be watching all of those closely. But that, for us, I think maybe takes it.
I think so, yeah.
Offering you a chance now to call out anyone in WWE. You've got a chance this time next year, inside Hell in a Cell. Who are you taking on and why?
Go on, boy. Tell us what.
All right, let's call them out. Recently going through a bit of a rough patch, breaking up. Let's call out the New Day. Big E, you do what you want. You go do what you want. You be successful.
We're happy for you.
I'm happy for you, Big E, but I'm not going to do singles. You going to do singles?
I'm never going to do singles, boy.
So Kofi and Xavier, 2/3 of the New Day, or now just 2/2 of the New Day.
2/2.
We're calling you out. Hell in a Cell. They've done it before. You'll do it again. I think that's our dream at the moment. They're the bar, quite frankly. So I think that's what we want. That's what we're going to get. Maybe not next year, Michael. Maybe 2 years, maybe 3. But that's what we want. That's who we're eager to get in there and face and prove ourselves against.
Definitely. And I think, Michael, we could both agree. What an entertaining match that was.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So say you win that match against the New Day, if it's next year or whenever. You've got a WrestleMania match, WrestleMania 38. Who's your dream match for WrestleMania and why?
I'm gonna take this one. All right, the reason this is,
you got it.
So, with mine and Sam's tag wrestling, right? We like to think that, you know, basically what we always say is a me brain,
Sue brain,
right? So, we always think that we have this connection, you know, we're on a different level to everybody else,
brothers,
much like brothers. So for us, the dream match in a long time, once he's done, is the Usos. That for us would be, you know, because we've watched them for years and years.
Since they debuted.
And they're so good at evolving as well. They're always keeping current. They're always keeping new. There's always something exciting to watch about them. If you watch them from, 10 years ago, it's such a different product. And so it's definitely something that me and Sam have been watching, because, you know, there's going to come a time where me and Sam are going to have to start bringing new things to the table before we sort of get a little bit, dull. I mean, me and Sam can never be dull, but...
Yeah, don't you dare say it.
You know, if there's a risk, you know, it's something that we're going to have to work on. And just... You know, in ring, them two are just incredible. So, yeah, we would love to have a brother off, if you will.
You can watch the full interview on our YouTube, Sporf Wrestling, or listen on all good podcasting apps. And let us know on Twitter @GoHomeShowPod who you'd like to see us interview next.
And now, time for the main event of the Go Home Show pod. This podcast has been very Hell in a Cell centric. In Convince Me, we said we couldn't choose Undertaker versus Mick Foley at King of the Ring 98 as the greatest of all time because we wanted to talk about it more. It is time for Network and Chill, and this week's show is WWE Untold, which is available on YouTube in full. Mick Foley versus Undertaker, King of the Ring 1998. We hear everyone's reaction to the match. We hear from The Undertaker. We hear from Mick Foley. We hear from Sergeant Slaughter. We hear from Tim White, who's the referee on the day, plus much more about what was going through their mind during the match. So for those who don't remember, this is the classic Hell in a Cell match. This is probably the pop culture Hell in a Cell match where Mick Foley gets thrown off the top through the announce table. He then gets carted off on a stretcher. He then comes back to the ring. And that kind of moment of him fighting off all the staff to get back to the ring is a real thing, as we hear in The Untold, because they're saying we shouldn't be doing anything else here. They're all convincing him to go to the back and get medical attention. He fights them all off. He gets back on top of their cell. Trade-offs with The Undertaker before getting chokeslammed through the cell. A chair falls on his face, which is why we get the classic tooth through the nose shot, which is harrowing to see again. This show, for something that's available for free on YouTube, for me, is nonsense because it is so, so interesting and there's so much information packed into just 15 minutes. Elliot, what were your thoughts?
It's one of them. This match is one of the greatest wrestling urban legends because we keep on hearing new little bits of information as we're going forward. The main bit of insight I really appreciated was listening to Tim White, being the guy who had to officiate over this entire bonkers, one-of-a-kind moment match that has never been topped in terms of its brutality and maybe also from the actual stipulation itself. But just having to react to what's going on. Wrestling is, you know, it's like ballet. It's improvised. It's going on the fly, and it's just having to it's just reacting. That's all it is. It's just reacting. And I don't understand how anybody involved in that, from the officials to the camera operators to the wrestlers themselves, didn't end up getting severely hurt or possibly dying. And when you hear about the stuff like how The Undertaker had a broken leg, you know, going into it, and how they were hearing the cell was not as stable as they thought it was, it's like, how did this bonkersness happen? And how is everyone here still alive to talk about it today?
I think what I found really interesting was Mick Foley was saying after the match, he goes into the back and he goes up to Vince. And Vince says to him, I think the line was, thank you for everything you've done for me today, but don't ever do it again. Which then begs the question, how hamstrung are current Hell in a Cell matches by that match? Because that, like, if we talk about, you always want to build and build and build and build and build. And in fact, in the interview, Pretty Deadly from Crusher, they say something along the lines of, this match is your job interview for your next one, which is the same with these matches. You've got to do more than the last one and everyone will always judge you backwards. How difficult must it be for talent to do Hell in a Cell matches, do you think, Will?
I think I sort of alluded to it a little bit in the Room 101. So I think Hell in a Cell needs a bit of a break because obviously we come to this moment, and rightly so. It's a standout moment, like we've said, in not just WWE, but it's, you know, if you were to introduce someone to wrestling, you'd show them this moment. But I really do think, as a wider point, Hell in a Cell needs like a rest because it's lost its mystique, it's lost its sort of danger, and I just don't feel it is where it once was. I remember, like, you remember when you first saw the Elimination Chamber at Survivor Series 2002, like that, you felt like, gee, like, this is unbelievable. It's like unbelievable feat of engineering and structure, and it's going to cause so much damage. And Hell in a Cell has just lost that now. So, yeah, I think, like you said, there's no way that anybody can top that one because it's a health and safety nightmare. And two, I wouldn't want to see that anyway because knowing what we know now, especially learning from this WWE Untold, it just wouldn't be right, would it?
No, I think that the very, very scary moment in the match, which you probably don't realise it when you first watch it, but then you hear this, is when, so Mick Foley goes off the top and he gets taken away on a stretcher. His shoulders popped out. He's all messed up. He makes his way back up to the top. And he says when he got to the top, he was all out of energy. Like everything he had to give, he had given at this point. And he says that's probably the thing that saved his wrestling career and potentially even his life, because when he went to do the chokeslam bump, he couldn't jump at all. And you watch it, literally one leg like half kicks up and he flops backwards, goes through the cell. Like, how mad must that be to think of as Mick Foley now looking back at that moment and thinking, Like, that could have been... I mean, it didn't go well for him. A chair fell on his face. He knocked his tooth up through his nose. He was out cold. He must look back at that moment and think that could very easily have been the end of at least wrestling, let alone anything else. Like, I don't get how you can get out of that headspace.
Yeah, I mean, it's legit crazy. Like, even going back to the start of the match when, or even before the show starts, he says that Vince came up to him and said, has he been up at the top? Like, what's he think? And he lied to him and said, yes, he'd already been up. And then when he started the match on Top of the Cell, he realised he shouldn't have said that, like, because of how scary it was. And then to hear him say that if he over-rotated, he would have potentially broken his neck, as you mentioned, end his wrestling career, and he could have died. Like, it's crazy. Like, Taker had the broken foot, Foley's popped his shoulder out during the match, you've got the tooth through the nose. Like, honestly, an incredible match. It has such a legacy.
Yes, I think we all agree that's a fantastic watch. And like Chris said, it's over on the YouTube channel, so go and check that out. We've discussed a lot of things. Hell in a Cell on the horizon. Best Hell in a Cell match of all time. How can you go against me? Armageddon six-way match with some of the greatest of all time. Could you have named the 11th superstar of Ed Elliott in the quiz? Should the red Hell in a Cell go into room 101? But please come up with some proper suggestions. What do you think of WWE Untold, Mick Foley versus The Undertaker? And who should we interview in upcoming episodes? Also, let us know who you'd like us to collaborate with. Get them on. We've had Kenny. We've got some other ones coming up in the future as well. So let us know. We've also teamed up with Euroshop. There's a fantastic prize bundle. All you have to do is leave a 5-star review and leave your Twitter handle to get a Brahma Ball mini title, a Drew and Bailey shirt, and an Undisputed Era water bottle, which, that could be going pretty quickly. That's all we've got time for today. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favourite podcast app, and you'll be the first to know when a new episode launches. The boys have got plenty more to review NXT UK coming up as well, so make sure you follow Go Home Show Pod on Twitter to keep up with that. Hell in the Cell this weekend, we'll all be watching it. Check out the full interview with Pretty Deadly on YouTube. Two very stylish lads, nearly as stylish as a young Michael Henson. Like I said, Chris and Crush will be back very soon. But that is all from us. We'll see you soon. Let's go home.